Hi, I'm Bruce Larson, and I want to welcome you to session two of our adventure together. Keith and I are here and are eager to join with you. You're here, obviously, because you agreed to go ahead last time, which means we are fellow adventurers. And I was thinking, on the basis of what you got me to share last time, Keith, about some of the early things in my life, of my dad's dream of a canoe trip, and how it never took place because my dad died before I came out of the Army and we could do this sort of thing, but how I've been thinking about boats and water and all kinds of things the rest of my life. So I got the picture of an adventure very early in my life. But we're here now to talk about the shape of this adventure with God. And I think before we do that we ought to begin it with prayer. Keith, do you have any suggestions as to how we might do that?
Well, Bruce, I frankly, most of my life have been turned off by prayers in the church. So many times the person praying seems to be really preaching to me kind of obliquely, and I get the idea he's trying to pass information to me instead of God, and it turns me off. So when I first came to the place in my own Christian pilgrimage where it came time to pray, I didn't want to. I had a big resistance to praying because the real things I wanted to pray about either seemed too awful, you know, to admit publicly, or they seemed not important enough. So what I'd like for us to do in these meetings is to begin and end each session with a time in which we can not experiment in the sense that we're experimenting with God, but in the overall adventure of having a place to try to speak in a real way to God. So what I'd suggest we do is to begin each session with just a few minutes, and each person, beginning with your leader, say just a few words about what's really on his mind. One might say something like, if I were to pray this week, I might pray about the use of time. I'm trying to crowd too much in every day, and I'd like to ask God to help me with that. Some of you may have a sick child. Some of you may have a new venture that you're going. Just to say, hey, God, thank you for this, or help me to do this. Something that pertains primarily to me as a person. And that's great to pray for the world and the minority groups, and we hope we'll move to that. But until I can really pray about me, you know, and be vulnerable in that sense, it's difficult. Now, I realize that some people who will be a part of this, some of you have never prayed out loud this way. It's going to be embarrassing. So if you do not want to pray, in order to not make this a lengthy thing, let's just start with the leader, go around to the left, and then if you don't have anything on your mind or you blank out, just say, thank you, God, so it won't embarrass the next man. Because that way, you know, we'll move quickly around. And thank you, God, is not a bad prayer. So if we could take the time now to begin this and begin each session this way, just to experiment with really talking to God in a real way. And if you have any questions, now's the time to ask them.
One of the things that I'm very grateful for right now is the fact that we are being helped to sort out possible alternatives and to sort out our values. And I think life without God is focused for me in the fact that when God finally enters the scene in some way, through some person, through some thought, I've got to begin to think about the options in my life. And we've been talking together through the reading book about the things that we may have to give up if God comes in and we let him in. The other side to that is what kinds of things might God initiate in my life and say, I want to add to your life. But in this whole area of giving up or adding, we're talking about change at a very costly level. And, you know, going back to the first week, I told about my moving every 2 years. I never felt in or that I belonged to a group. And so all my life I wanted to somehow be cool enough or neat enough or worth knowing enough that people would want me. It never happened. And when God finally began to get my attention, the thing I thought I had to give up was the fact that I could somehow be lovely or lovable, and I'd become a fanatic, some kind of a Bible-carrying prophet that would go around like a Jeremiah, you know. And I said, well, okay. But I thought about that, and I was going to pay the price, and I did it very scared. And I can still recall that. And of course, what God did was to begin to give me some skills to relate and listen and love that made me negotiable. I never saw that.
Yeah, I can really identify with that, because one of the first things I was afraid of was I really worked hard at making friends, and I didn't know anything about love or friendship, but I had a lot of people who knew my name, and I could call friends. And I was afraid that God would make me a religious fanatic, that he would make me known as something my friends would make fun of. because, boy, the esteem meant so much to me that I was afraid you'd give me a flappy black Bible and a tambourine and put me out in front of my office building, you know, to confront people. But I guess now, you see, because as you say, it's a continual change. If I had today to commit my life to Christ, all of it, I think maybe I'd be afraid that, in one sense, that I might have to give up this whole communication thing, which has come to mean so much to me. You know, I think that'd be the thing that right now, and of course I know enough by having done this, having tried this before, to know that somehow he wouldn't. But that would be my fear, I guess, if I were beginning to say, what is it now that's most important in my life, which really kind of...
Yeah, I think for me, the thing I see that God doesn't reveal early on in our life is that so often we confuse our parents with God or the things our parents have given us, our values. And I see people who are stuck with a job, maybe, that mother or daddy said you ought to do, or a business that daddy handed on, or they live in a house that somehow came from ancestors. And often God says, is that really yours? And God gives the liberating word that we can change vocations or give up something that was sacred because the family passed it on. We find our real thing. So God is not only in the business of taking away, but of adding the thing which is really ours. And I see that now, but on the other side of my first commitment, I never saw that. And the price was just almost more than I could even consider paying.
Yeah, well, in another way, you're saying that if you have something you're living in, like a family business you don't really like, that the fear might be that God's never going to let you out of it. If you commit your life to him, you have to do your duty. So everybody seems to have something that he's afraid of. Maybe it's afraid of turning loose of a child or a husband. But, you know, what is it that each of you sitting there, what kind of thing comes to mind as something you might be afraid of in your life if you were to ask to commit the whole thing to God right now? One of the things we're going to do as a part of this experiment is intercessory prayer, praying for other people. I never used to believe in this since I figured God already knew what other people needed. But I found that by doing it, it seemed that coincidences in the lives of the people I was praying for began to happen. And as William Temple said, that all I know is that the more I prayed, the more these coincidences seemed to take place. So what we've done is given you a sheet of paper, which your leader will show you, with a space for your names and addresses, and he'll tell you how to do this, so that we can begin to pray for each other and to try to see what it does to our lives and to our commitments to God.